As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake Doctor's Orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Today on Tim and Sid and Donovan, countdown is on to what should be an unforgettable night at Staples Center.
Yeah, and the countdown to Super Bowl 54 is nearly over.
And let's count how many times Kyle Lowry has made the All-Star game.
Let's.
One, two, three, four, five, six. Tim and Sid, live on TV and radio, starts now.
Hashtag Tim and Sid. Of course, I go by the name of the kid. Famous. Wow. This here is the Tim and Sid Show. You are now tuned in, coast to coast, entertaining the masses. Sports entertainment. Yeah. It's about to get started. Sit back, enjoy the show in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Let's go.
It is Friday, January 31st. Where did January go? I'm Sid Sixero. He is Donovan Bennett. Tim McAuliffe off today. This is Tim and Sid. We are live on Sportsnet and Sportsnet 590 The Fan on this Friday. Twitter is the best way to get a hold of us live during the show. I have a feeling it'll be a busy Twitter day. At Tim and Sid is how you can do that. Our Instagram and Facebook accounts are real, and they are spectacular. Go to them.
Dude, did you forget what number came after 4? Because there was a pregnant pause.
Oh, in the opening?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Honestly?
I mean, I haven't been able to speak since then. So yeah, that's what I was talking about.
Yes, I forgot it was after 4.
Okay, all right. Because it took you a while.
It's been that kind of a week.
Well, if you want to listen to all the shows from this week, including this one, Tim and Sid Podcast is available to you all of the time, 24/7. Binge it. It's good. You can also stream the show, binge that as well, by using Sportsnet Now. All you got to do, download the app. I've done it. Go there for more information. But the information that you need for this show is right here. Coming up over the next 2 hours of whole grain goodness. No, I would never say that, but he wrote my script.
This is all ad-libbed. I don't know what you're talking about.
We will discuss Kyle Lowry.
All-star.
Kyle Lowry.
Don't touch him.
I won't. The Raptors.
9 straight wins.
Super Bowl 54.
2 days away.
Kind of snuck up on us.
Yeah.
We've been busy. Lakers, Blazers.
Emotional, to say the least. ESPN's Dave McMenamin, friend of this show, will join us a little later on. Lakers play their first game since the death of Kobe Bryant, his 13-year-old daughter Gianna, along with 7 other souls in that helicopter accident. On a slightly lighter note, Super Bowl 54 between the Chiefs and Niners is on the horizon. To go with what DJ is saying, it has kind of crept up on us, pardon me. Hopefully it's not a crappy game, but it's crept up on us. Nate Burleson and Michael Irvin scheduled to join us from Miami on today's edition of Tim and Sid. We're going to dive into a lot of basketball here momentarily, but we ended the show yesterday hitting a specific kind of a note, and it's because of Tom Brady, who dropped a photo on social media that shook the world. It is just a black and white photo, a silhouette of Brady. Is he leaving an arena? Is he entering a stadium? Does this mean he's retiring? Does this mean he's leaving the Patriots? Adam Schefter of ESPN tweeted last night, "This doesn't mean anything regarding his future. Sources tell me." Adam basically also doesn't tell us what it means, but he tells us it's not about his future. Donovan, your take on this, because this struck a chord with me towards the end of yesterday's show. What the hell does that mean?
That he wants more engagement online with his social media accounts. Correct. He's thirsty. But if we throw the photo
How
up.
How can Tom Brady be thirsty?
Did you see what he
should
posted?
Be filled with electrolytes.
Well, he's...
How is Tom Brady thirsty? Like an offensive lineman on the Patriots who you've never heard of? Yes. That person may be thirsty. Tom Brady's thirst has been quenched years ago. How is this man thirsty?
Not sure. But I'm sure of this. That is a photo of a silhouette, beautifully shot, of someone leaving the field, not walking towards it.
Leaving the field.
How do I know, you ask? Because I'm a smart man. Look at his shadow, Sydney.
All right.
Shadow's closer to him.
The shadow.
So based on the amount of light that we see, and listen, you could...
But that's like art class 101. How the hell do I not notice the shadow?
A filter can do some amazing things. So I don't know if it's really that backlit. But based on that light,
you're really breaking this down,
aren't you? He is walking towards us and thus away from the field. So maybe this is saying, I'm going to hang him up.
Okay. Interesting take there, Donovan, as usual. The other reason I wanted to show this is because we got a tweet from Brian Leach, who is a longtime listener and viewer of this show, who's pretty good with the graphics. He sent in a silhouette of me stretching in the unitard, basically in the same setting, and it was emotional on so many levels. And I just wanted to share this with the audience. For those listening, it's me. It's a silhouette of me stretching. It is a horrendous visual. But me, am I leaving Gillette? Am I entering Gillette? Where's my shadow? I don't know.
It's, well, I mean, he did great work with the shadow because
yes.
An amateur would just take the exact same photo, put a silhouette of you, but the shadow would stay the same. Look at the distance between the legs, the stride length, if you will. The shadow
you want
is
people,
accurate.
You want people to focus on the distance between the legs. I don't want people to focus on that at all. That is not a visual anyone needs.
Well, I mean, we're looking at it.
It happened.
If you're watching,
I understand
if you're,
that.
You're on radio,
to,
then stream it after and you'll see
it.
What I'm saying. But again, are you going away or towards? This is why it's difficult to tell, because you, my friend, are one of the many people who, from a body composition standpoint, have what we call in the business a booty do. Your stomach sticks out farther than your booty do.
Your booty do. Yeah.
So it is tough, given that that's your body composition, to derive whether or not you are stretching towards the field or away from it.
See, when I hear your voice and I see you operate, you are... you're what we call in the business at broad, bad at broadcasting. That's what you are.
I mean, that wasn't funny.
That
so.
it made me laugh. All right, so thanks to Brian Leach for that. Super Bowl is coming up Sunday. Once again, we have Nate Burleson scheduled. We have Michael Irvin, a three-time Super Bowl champion, scheduled. But obviously, everyone today is talking about Super Bowl food for the party. Mm-hmm. The Timminson Twitter account basically asked you in a salary cap type vein to use $15 and put together what type of Super Bowl spread that suits your fancy come Super Bowl Sunday at Timminson Online.
Can
if
I
you
ask
want
a
to
question?
Do that. Go ahead.
So, I mean, so for the radio audience, there are four columns of different foods. And
foods range from $5 to $1, and the game is spend $15 total to get your spread.
So four across, five down. Do I have to use all of my roster spots? So can I go three... Just max players with the $5 foods.
This is the simplest game.
Chili, chicken wings, pizza, and forgo, leave an open roster spot.
This is classic. Why does everyone on that side of this table overthink it?
Well,
it's $15.
No, it's analytics.
The
is what
goal
it
is to spend the $15 as you see fit and just come up with whatever $15 gets you.
But there
that's
are,
it's a simple game. Spend $15
there
on
are
our
columns
prices.
And rows, and given that, it suggests that you have to choose four. And I'm just asking, do I have to do that? Can I be the Houston Astros and push the envelope a little bit?
Just hit a trash can and pick a food.
Because pizza, it didn't say how much pizza. I could get a lot of pizza.
You suck the life out of fun. Has anyone ever told you
I'm
that?
I'm asking legitimate questions so that I can answer appropriately.
What are you, like 30? You're 30,
because listen,
4 years old? How old are you?
I could just sweep the $1 and save the money for future cash considerations.
So you want to save the money in a hypothetical game that doesn't exist? You want to bet $1? And just get one item of food.
If I'm going to attack this problem, I'm going to attack
immediately
it well.
You made this not fun. One final thing. I sent out my Super Bowl snack rankings earlier today. They are accurate.
Lasagna was where?
All others are stupid. Lasagna didn't make it, but I'm a fan of lasagna. My number five best Super Bowl snack, it's Hostess Cups, chocolate cupcakes. Four is pizza. Three is chips and nachos, which are the same thing. I don't want to hear it. Number
what?
Two is chili, preferably beef. And number one, except for honey garlic wings, all other wings.
What's wrong with honey garlic?
Because it's ridiculous. Why should honey be anywhere near a chicken wing? Do you put honey on steak? Who puts honey on steak? Honey is like a medicinal thing almost. And waffles. That's it. Honey shouldn't be anywhere near a wing. So wings, chili, chips, nachos, pizza,
wait a minute.
Hostess chocolate cupcakes. Those are my top five.
Do you dip your wings?
Yeah, it depends.
In what? What do you dip them in?
In blue cheese.
Would you dip a steak in blue cheese?
I have.
You've dipped it? Oh, jeez. Why did I even ask?
That's what I'm talking about,
dipped
baby.
Dipped a steak in blue cheese.
I get a little blue cheese on the side. May have done it last night.
Do you like buffalo chicken wings?
Yes.
Would you put the buffalo sauce on a steak?
No, that's crazy.
So what's the difference?
Don't talk foolish. At Tim and Sid, top five Super Bowl snack rankings, hashtag Tim and Sid. Let's get this conversation going, because it usually ends in fights, and I live for the fights. Let's get to basketball. It was closer than expected, but the Raptors took care of the Cavs. Ninth straight overall victory for the Raps. Serge Ibaka led the way, 26. Norm Powell was hot down the stretch, and all-star Kyle Lowry, as we found out before the game, had 23, including 14 in the third quarter. Raps go for their 10th straight win against Dwayne Casey and the Pistons live on Sportsnet 1 tonight. They've won 9 in a row. They're a little banged up. No Marc Gasol last night. No Ronnie Hollis-Jefferson last night, DJ. How do you feel about the Raps right now?
Feel good. Feel great. It'd be tough to feel much better. I mean, you mentioned the streak on... Overall, they've won 8 straight on the road. They're one of 3 teams in the East who is above 500 home and away. And they've done it, for the most part, and yet again, somewhat ravished by injuries. So life is all about expectations, right? And so relative to my expectations for this team coming into the year, I don't know how you could feel bad about them. In that 9-game streak, they've scored 130-plus 3 times. Scoring, I thought, was going to be an issue without Kawhi and without Danny Green. So, yes, second in the East, starting to pull away from Boston and Miami and Indiana. How can you not feel good about them? Now, what that means in terms of the trade deadline with Masai Ujiri and Wayne Embry, who's now in town, and Bobby Webster and Teresa Rouse, I don't know, because the evaluation on what this team could ultimately be in April, May, and June is different. But given what I thought they were going to be a couple months ago, I feel great about them.
Listen, man, 9 straight wins for the Raptors. I feel like fans in Toronto aren't really flinching at it.
Like, that don't impress me much?
Just walk down this road for me. The Leafs win 9 straight hockey games, which will never happen. But the Leafs win 9 straight hockey games, right? So what is the feeling in the city of Toronto if that happens?
Parade route. They're losing
their mind.
Parade route.
It's like a lead item most nights. You want to give Auston Matthews another huge contract at that dollar? Like, everyone's jumping. They're going crazy. Yet the Toronto Raptors, who, by the way, are the reigning NBA champions, win 9 straight. And it's kind of like, it's pretty good.
But in fairness, though, how much of that is the competition? This is a team that still has a losing record against other playoff teams. And, I mean, Cleveland has been homecoming for the rest of the NBA this year. You go to Cleveland. Cleveland comes to you, doesn't matter. Guaranteed win night. And so I understand why people aren't saying back-to-back just yet. Do you not?
No, I'm not saying that. But here's what I'm saying. The more I watch the Raptors play, the more I watch them operate, the more I watch them keep their head above water with injury after injury after injury, I think only a fool would suggest they're not strong enough mentally, and they're not strong enough from a team standpoint to overcome anything. This team is strong enough to overcome anything. I'm not saying they're going to be in the final, but there was a moment where they didn't believe this was final worthy. Like, I thought second round, you know, and that'd be a good year for the Raptors. The whole narrative for me has changed, and we don't even know what Masai is going to do next Thursday, between now and next Thursday at the deadline.
Fascinating.
It's going to be amazing to watch Masai operate and Bobby Webster. I don't know where they go from here.
Or not operate.
So are you okay if Bobby Webster and Masai don't do anything between now and next Thursday?
100%.
Why?
Because, one, they're pretty good. Two, what are you getting back for the pieces that you have? The young pieces, you're not moving because you're up against the cap as it is. You got a couple guys who are on expiring deals that you're not getting much back for. It's going to change the landscape of this franchise. So you may just make a move to cut off your nose to spite your face. The best thing about this team right now is their chemistry, their understanding. So I'm not breaking that up just for someone who may or may not be in the rotation. But you say, okay, you're impressed, whatnot, and you're not counting them out based off that will. But are you picking them against Milwaukee in a 7-game series? Against either team in Los Angeles? Because if you're not,
different questions.
I asked them both. Feel free to answer them.
Because two of the 3 best players in the league are in that Western Conference, in Kawhi and LeBron. So I think it's a different conversation. Giannis. Is Giannis that guy? Marc Gasol and company kind of wrapped him up a year ago in the biggest series of his life, the most part.
Part of that company is now in Los Angeles.
True. But they handled, Nick Nurse specifically, found a way to handle Giannis generally that other teams have not. So what's to say he doesn't have another something in his back pocket? What's to say they don't get a defensive big man to make life really difficult for Giannis Antetokounmpo and stop him from driving through the lane and saying, no, you're going to kick it. Well, I don't care if you want to kick it out to Eric Bledsoe. You're doing it. Like, they did something against Milwaukee last year that I don't think we're giving enough credence to, that quite frankly a lot of other teams in this league can't do, and that is make Giannis look human. So if you bring another defensive guy, potentially, maybe that helps you down the road. Or maybe Bradley Beal's on the block and we don't know it. Maybe they're taking a bigger swing. I don't know. But you're saying if they don't do anything, you're fine.
Bradley Beal just resigned. He's not going anywhere. He's just mad he's not an all-star.
I'm just saying he hasn't been happy any time this year. He hasn't been happy any time this year. Masai Ujiri loves picking up the unhappy guy. So, and sometimes it works out picking up the unhappy guy. I'm just saying.
Well, I mean, if you're training for Bradley Beal, that means you're probably not in on Giannis in a year plus. So
we don't know that.
Well.
You don't know that.
I mean, the cap's not going up. So we kind of do know that.
But right now, how many max guys are sitting on the Raptors roster?
Well,
Kyle will be gone. Serge will be gone. Gasol will be gone.
Fred's back will be three times the amount of money to start.
Fred's going to make 18 to 20.
That's a lot of money.
All right, but he's not a max guy is what I'm saying, though.
Sure.
It's not a max guy.
But Pascal just got a new contract. Plus, you have to fill out the rest of your roster.
Is Pascal still here? Is he a trade piece? But, like, all these things are on the table. Like, I know everyone loves this team. Everyone loves this team. Masai's, like, 3, 4, 5 moves ahead.
Pascal is a starter in the All-Star game. And he's been playing basketball for less than a decade.
Right, and so was DeMar DeRozan. I got news for you. So was DeMar DeRozan. And he cut that cord painfully and rather quickly when he was out of the country and said, who can we get? That's the question. Who can we get? Never forget that's the point. Right? I know we love Pascal. I know we love Kyle. I know we love Serge. But there are pretty good players elsewhere in this league, too, that might be able to help you, that are motivated, that can do different things. Just throwing it out there. Because you know the formula of how you beat Philly. You know the formula how you can beat Milwaukee because you've done it. But do you have those pieces? Do you have the horses that you did a year ago, specifically one, to do that this year? Because you might get that opportunity.
I mean, Milwaukee's lost, what, 6 games? Like,
ridiculous.
They're talking about trying to push for the Warriors' record, which they're not going to get, by the way.
No.
I'm just saying, they're not the same team as they were last year. Giannis is not the same player as he was last year. So, again, I think the Raptors are in a great spot.
My main point is, I think everything's on the table, is my point, right?
Next week at this time.
Like, next week at this time. Everything's on the table because you really don't know what the market... This is a weird market. Like, you're not hearing... You're not hearing the names that we were kind of hearing in the last couple of years. Like, it's been kind of quiet. It's been steady. And again, it could be the Giannis factor as well in a couple of years. People have their cap space scheduled to free up. Maybe they don't want to kill that. I understand that. But just don't underestimate Masai's ability to knock your socks off, man, with something. And if he thinks, listen, man, he's got that bring a guy in for one season and see what happens in the veins right now. He knows how that can work.
I believe in Masai. I believe was so started on the show. Wednesday and Thursday of next week on this show is going to be fascinating.
Yeah, or like this. It's one of the two. We want to show you a fan putting his hands once again on Kyle Lowry. I don't know what's going on here. This is a trend you're seeing a bit more. Isaiah Thomas recently got into it with a fan. But for some reason, Kyle, people have become really comfortable with number 7. And whether you're just an average idiotic fan in Cleveland or a part owner of the Golden State Warriors in the finals, I don't know where this bravery is coming from. Guys, we have Kyle's postgame from last night. This is Kyle speaking as honestly as he possibly could about it.
I'm diving for a loose ball and fans pushing you. It's unbelievable, man. Like, the NBA fans shouldn't be represented by people like him. And the second time it's happened to me, and it's kind of getting crazy because, you know, next time it happened, I don't know if I'm going to be able to control myself, and hopefully I will. Fans like that shouldn't be in our buildings and our arenas.
I mean... I'll say this right now. In terms of the last thing Kyle just said, if it happens again and he doesn't control himself, I don't blame him. And I will not criticize that man on national television and drive time radio at all. If that happens a third time, at some point the league has to start protecting these guys too. Because that's insane. That's absolutely insane. And Kyle's been unbelievable from a discipline standpoint. If it happens again, have at it, Haas. I am not criticizing Kyle. The next person, right cross, and then see if it happens again. Send someone to the hospital overnight and see if it happens again. I hate to say that, but everyone's feeling really free and easy nowadays in 2020. That BS has to end. That's the point I want to make. Next time out, don't keep your composure, and then maybe it stops. And I don't blame you, Kyle, if you don't. I don't.
I'm surprised it didn't happen the first time, to be honest.
Correct. Alfred, well, it was the finals.
It was, sure.
But, I expected it.
But in that moment, Alfred Payton lost his mind because Jay Crowder tried to jack up a three at the end of regulation. Never mind putting hands on someone. The trust fund baby that was in the front row that felt like he was going to help Kyle get back into the possession, in any other walk of life, if he pushed him off an elevator, he was going to catch some hands. So I don't know why it's any different because you're watching a sporting event. I hope it doesn't go to that place, but I think the league, to your point, needs to step in to almost protect the players from the fans, but protect them from a natural reaction where another grown human being pushes you. The fight response that you're going to have is to push back.
He's a six-time All-Star. A couple things before we go. The NBA Rising Stars game will happen Friday of All-Star weekend. Rosters are out. Four Canadians are on the world team. Nikhil Alexander-Walker, RJ Barrett, Brandon Clark, and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. That's amazing. Terrence Davis of the Raptors did not make this game. He was a little upset. He tweeted, "This isn't my first time not being selected for something, but I guess it's easy going undrafted to playing quality minutes on a championship team. Huh." Good for you, Terrence. Luka Doncic, they say, is going to miss 2 weeks with an ankle sprain, and he was on both the Rising Stars team and the main All-Star team, so he might miss the whole weekend. And again, Lakers-Blazers tonight, first game for the Lakers since the death of Kobe Bryant. Dave McMenamin of ESPN will join us from Los Angeles a little later on. Let's take our first break here on Tim and Sid, and Donovan has been kind enough to sit in. We got a Super Bowl coming up. Super Bowl 54 goes Sunday. Michael Irvin, three-time Super Bowl winner of NFL Network, will join us live from Miami after the break. This is Tim and Sid on Sportsnet and Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Subscribe to the Tim and Sid podcast with your favorite podcatcher, Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Welcome back, everybody. Sid Sixero, Donovan Bennett here with you on Tim and Sid. Tim McAuliffe is off today. Quick correction on my end, and thanks to everyone online who are checking me. Bradley Beal, because he signed the extension recently, cannot be dealt this season. Just to correct myself on that, because I was not correct earlier. I am correct in saying we have a Super Bowl this weekend. Super Bowl 54. It is the Kansas City Chiefs. It is the San Francisco 49ers. We need to speak to someone who knows about Super Bowls here, Donovan, who is familiar with Super Bowls, familiar with breaking the hearts of Bills fans for years. If only we could find... Michael Irvin is joining us live from the city of Miami.
The playmaker.
Playmaker, it's great to talk to you. We always reach a point in Super Bowl week where everything is just nuts. Have we reached that point in Miami yet?
And it's interesting because it really just happened today. Today, you know, it's like everybody knew, okay, this thing's in Miami. We're not coming in Thursday, Friday, Saturday, why do the game Sunday. We're coming in Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and stay over Monday and not go to work so they get party. It's incredible, and it's getting insane out here now.
So the conversation leading up to the big game, the two coaches, which one will get it done, certainly the Niners running game, the aerial attack of the Chiefs, the Niners defense. No one is talking about the Chiefs defense. If you're Frank Clark, if you're one of those defenders, Honey Badger, Mathau, and you're talking to your other teammates, give me the speech about how the Chiefs defense is being disrespected.
Well, and that's exactly the approach I would take, because I don't want to do anything against my offense to minimize what the Chiefs' offense is, but I'm going to challenge all of these guys, and I'm going to say everybody is talking about the 49ers' defense. They act as if we do not exist. This day, we will leave our mark. When we leave this field, they will know who was the better defense on that field today. Let's make sure one man play for the other, each man play with the other, and we leave our mark today. That's the things I would be saying to my teammates if I was in that locker room playing defense for the Chiefs.
Spagnuolo just needs to play that, and he's good.
I feel like putting on the helmet right now, Mike. You got us hyped up here.
Yeah. And that's what defense is all about anyway. It's just about playing connected football. Everybody taking care of their responsibility and not giving any gaps for anybody to run in. Defense is about heart and want to. That's why you can give an inspired speech and let's go and make a difference.
Three-time Super Bowl winner Michael Irvin here on Tim and Sid. Mike, you've been through this enough. Your advice to a first-time Super Bowl participant, for which there are many this weekend, would be what? What would you tell the kids?
Well, first of all, I would tell them, stop. Don't let people tell you, this is just a business trip. I'm going to treat it like another game. Get out of here with that. Kick rocks with that. This game you've been practicing on since you were 5 years old, fresh out of mom's womb, in the front yard, catching touchdowns, dreaming of playing in the Super Bowl. So you've been waiting on, now you're 25 or 30 years old, you've been waiting on this game 20 to 25 years. So understand the parameters around this game. And I like what Jimmy did with us. Jimmy brought us in Sunday, and he said, go out and have a good time Sunday night and Monday night. Get it out your system so we can focus in Tuesday when you come in. There's so many people who say, well, you know, I mean, this is just a business trip. It's a business trip. You'll lose your mind saying it's just a business trip with all of this that's surrounding the Super Bowl. Understand what it is, get that out your system, and then turn back and focus on football.
It's funny you say that because we hear the stories every year, some after the game, about guys who went out later in the week. And this is not, it's not Detroit. It's not Indianapolis. This is South Beach. South Beach is undefeated.
Right.
But you're playing for your legacy. So is it actually difficult late in the week to stay focused on the task at hand?
Especially if you didn't get anything in early in the week. That's what I'm talking about. So you say, we're not doing anything. So I'm not focused on the game. I'm not focused on practice. I haven't done anything all week, and I've earned the right to go out and get people to pat me on the back saying, great job, you made it to the Super Bowl. I didn't do any of that Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Instead of focusing on football like I do, giving all the brain equity to that, I'm calling, dog, where you go? What's out there, man? What'd you see? Get it out of your system. Get rid of it, and then you can focus on taking out that DB or whoever you need to take out.
Michael, there's a young man starting a quarterback this Sunday for the Kansas City Chiefs that you get the feeling if he wins Sunday, the conversation Monday, I don't want to say over the moon or too much, but you and I both know in this news cycle, we're in this sports news cycle, the Mahomes love will be incredible. And if he has a great game on top of it, look out. You're a Hall of Famer. You know what Hall of Famers look like. Does that kid look like a potential Hall of Famer one day to you?
Yeah, no, there's no doubt, especially as long as he stay connected to the hip of Andy Reid, who designs such incredible plays to take advantage of his skill set. I liken it to this. I watch Larry Bird shoot a perfect three-point shot, and then Reggie Miller shot a perfect jump shot. And now you see Steph Curry has revolutionized the three-point shot. Those guys used to have form, and Steph Curry, now it just off his hands instantly. What Steph Curry did for the three-point shot is what Patrick Mahomes is doing now for the quarterback position. He's not just standing up, standing with a great base throw. He's throwing that ball every kind of way, looking this way, throwing that way. It's insane what this kid is doing. And if he has a great game, win MVP and win this Super Bowl, you are spot on. It's going to be over the moon in love with Patrick Mahomes. On the other hand, think about if you're Jimmy Garoppolo. You're going to always be measured up to the GOAT of yesterday, which is Tom Brady, the greatest of all time. And also, in between that, you'll be measured up to the person we call the GOAT right now. What we see him doing is Patrick Mahomes. So Jimmy Garoppolo, I got to respect that man for what he has to climb out of to get his due respect.
This game, for me, is fascinating because it's a juxtaposition of two styles. Both teams use a lot of motion offensively, but the Niners run you to death with multiple people, and Andy Reid is looking to go vertical all of the time. It's a copycat league. Do you think one of these two styles is going to be more efficient on Sunday?
Yeah, well, everybody's trying to run the football. You know, just some people can't run the football because running is so key. And that's what blows my mind. We're always talking about quarterbacks, and we're always talking about this is a passing league. And the top four passing teams in the league, including my Cowboys, did not make the playoffs. The top four running teams in the league made the playoffs. So this is going to be interesting. We're paying the quarterbacks all kinds of money and not paying the running backs. Even look at it in Tennessee. They're going to offer Derrick Henry, who I call that motor. That's the way he runs, like a motor. He just runs over everybody. They'll offer him $12 to $13 million a year. And Ryan Tannehill, they'll offer him $30 million a year because we put so much onus on the quarterback. But we talk about these quarterbacks needing a run game. So there is certainly an imbalance, and it's going to get played out on the greatest stage. Which is more important, the run game of San Francisco or that vaunted passing game of the Kansas City Chiefs?
Three-time Super Bowl champion Michael Irvin here on Tim and Sid. Before we let you go, Mike, Tom Brady, what is he doing next season?
This is breaking my heart, man, because in a world where everybody's bouncing around so much, I wanted that stability. I wanted the GOAT to stay playing with the New England Patriots. And each day, there's new fodder coming out and something new coming out. Now Tom in the stadium, it's almost like he's sending a goodbye to the New England fans and the New England people. So it's hard to watch. But get this, I find it hard to find where would Tom's next home be. Because you don't want to get a 40-year-old Tom. You want the 20 years experience that Tom has gotten. So if you bring Tom in, you got to bring in his whole offense so you can get the benefit of what he has mastered and use it on your team. It's going to be interesting. But I pray to God that ultimately they find a way to keep Tom where he belongs, and that's the Patriots.
Michael, just to clarify, the picture that he sent out yesterday, you took that as a form of goodbye?
Well, it's all over the place. Everywhere I go, everybody's asking me about it. What does that mean? Is it a form of goodbye? It's cryptic. Why is Tom sending out all these cryptic messages? Just tell us what's going on. So yeah, you know, if you don't tell us exactly what it is, what do people like we do who work in this business?
Speculate.
We come up with things that it must be. And we start figuring it out, and we start interjecting things. So just tell us the truth so we don't have to do all of these things. So I don't know what it meant, but I took it as a possible goodbye or a possible tell them to give me my money and I'll stay.
I think the last part could be just as accurate.
You look like money right now. The crimson jacket, wide lapels. I hope the color is not meaning you're going to cheer for the Niners, because Cowboys fans will be really upset. Enjoy the game, though.
I appreciate it, man. But this red can go both ways, Chiefs and Niners. You know, one of the locks of the Super Bowl is a team that wear red will win the Super Bowl. That's a lock. Lock it in.
The big shoe lock of the week. Team wearing red will win. Michael Irvin, three-time Super Bowl champion, Pro Football Hall of Famer. This was fun. Thank you.
Always, guys. Thank you. I love Toronto. Love Canada.
It's great up here. Why wouldn't you love it? Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it. Michael Irvin. Again, I grew up a Bills fan. I quit the Bills a long time ago because they weren't worth my time. But I grew up a Bills fan. That man destroyed me annually towards the end. It was rough.
I know it well. It was rough. I grew up a Cowboys fan.
Time for a break. Best of the week. The nominees will unveil momentarily. I'm a fan of this crop. We'll get to it next. He's Donovan Bennett. I'm Sid Sixero. Tim and Sid live on Sportsnet. And Sportsnet 590 The Fan continues after this.
Our guests dress better than we do.
Well, most people dress better than me.
The Lombardi Line provides all the insights, news, and analysis you need, followed by Probability, a closer look at Sunday's props. Sunday, February 2nd at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Sportsnet 360 and Sportsnet Now.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Time now for Best of the Week, brought to you by Mary Brown's Crave Delicious. We'll give you the nominees for some of those random stuff we saw this week at the sportsnet.ca/vote. Vote for your winner. We'll announce the winner coming up between now and 6:30 p.m. Eastern. You ready, Deej?
Oh, yeah. Let's go.
Andy Reid clearly was hungry when talking about his grandkids this week.
What?
Those 9 grandkids are awesome. So they keep you young and at the same time make you feel old. It's kind of like sweet and sour pork.
What?
Well, that makes no sense. But Andy Reid, once in a while, just will get so hungry he'll blurt out food in the middle of normal sentences. It's like, Andy, how was your night last night? It was good, you know. We ran a couple plays, got a good game plan, and roast beef. That's what Andy Reid does. Speaking of food, Patrick Mahomes apparently puts ketchup on his steaks. Did you know this?
I did not know that.
I didn't know this. Travis Kelce was asked about it this week. He's offended greatly.
Talks about what, a bad habit or something.
A bad habit. He puts ketchup on steak, man. And I know that's old news, but that is, it's still foul to me. I would never do that. Like, he goes to, like, top-notch steakhouses and asks for ketchup on the side. I'm just like, dog, what are we doing?
Oh, no. I mean, a couple things. Like, if you're going to a top-notch steakhouse, you don't need anything else. Isn't that the whole point? Like, he's at a tax bracket where you shouldn't be putting on ketchup on much.
Hollandaise. It's not a hollandaise. What's the kind of... Bernays. I do that all the time. You can have a Bernays at a steakhouse.
Steak is
who doesn't like
well,
a good Bernays
steak.
In their
just
life?
Just enjoy the steak the way it is, the way the chef intended it to be.
So you order a steak.
I'm not asking for the HP.
You don't.
I'm saying
don't,
give me the steak the way the
I'm
steak
not saying
prepared.
HP. Please don't offend me.
A little juice, but that's it.
I'm not. What did you say?
A little juice.
A little. What is that? See, you think you're better than everyone.
I mean, true.
Yeah, like, whether it's clothing or whether it's steak.
I mean, goddamn. Look.
Like, okay. But things got real here. So all I'm saying is I do a lot of weird things with food. I would never put ketchup on a steak like that.
Would you put ketchup on Mary Brown's chicken?
Yes, I have.
What? What?
Mary Brown's chicken.
No, that's disrespectful.
But not on the chicken filet, which we're showing here in studio. The chicken filet au naturel is perfect. You don't need to touch it.
It's ridiculous.
Frank Caliendo. Remember Frank Caliendo?
I do, yeah.
He had like a moment where he was really, really funny, and then he kind of went away.
Sounds like you.
He's a great... but I haven't gone away, unfortunately for everyone else. Frank Caliendo, a video came out this week. He's a master impressionist. The Patrick Mahomes run from the AFC title game. It's one of the great plays of the entire season. Yeah. Frank Caliendo does a great Pat Summerall impression. And he does a great John Madden. A video came out this week where Caliendo's doing both as if they're calling that run from Mahomes. And it's glorious.
Mahomes, back to pass. Nobody open. He scrambles to the sideline. He's out of bounds.
He's still in, Pat.
So he is. Mahomes, inside the 5. Touchdown, Kansas City.
And that's just Patrick Mahomes being Patrick Mahomes right there. Making the muscles, and there's the Kansas City Wolf. I don't know what a wolf has to do with the Chiefs, but I mean, look at what he does here. I mean, there's nobody open. Titans think he's just going to run out of bounds. But he doesn't run out of bounds. He stays inbound and then makes guys miss, makes guys hit, and then boom, touchdown. And when you get a touchdown, you get to make muscles. There's the wolf again.
Oh, man.
I might win for me.
Well, I mean, there's a bunch of people watching who did not watch football in that era.
Unfortunately.
So can't appreciate it, but that was gold.
The wolf. The line about the wolf mascot is so legit.
The line about the muscles.
What is a wolf mascot have to do with Kansas City and that football team? It makes absolutely no sense. That's an early front runner for me. All right, the angry fan phone call of the week, and this went viral. Happened on WGR in Buffalo this week, and it was about the Buffalo Sabres. A guy named Dwayne called up, and he wasn't happy about knockoff jerseys being used in a Sabres old-timers game. Look, the Sabres haven't made the playoffs in 8 years. It's going to be 9 straight years, right? I like Jack Eichel, but that team has issues. The passion with which Dwayne made his case on WGR in Buffalo this week was incredible, and incredible enough to make him a nominee for Best of the Week. Feel the passion.
Dwayne is going to lead us off this segment. Hi, Dwayne. Thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks, Bulldog. Thanks, guys. If you just give me a minute here, I'll try and organize my thoughts as best I can. It's so mind-boggling how we've fallen this far. And, like, I don't need. I was cautiously optimistic coming into the season because I wasn't fully expecting playoffs, but I was happy with the way the season started because the competitiveness was there, and it's been there. And then they go out and lay an egg last night in front of me. Of course, I was at the game. First time I went to a game with my sister, by the way, and she had to sit there through that. And it's just, it's mind-blowing. Like, I don't need a Jerry Jones type of owner. Like, I need an owner who's going to answer to the fans when they misspell names on jerseys and have Chinese knockoffs on alumni. Like, what is going on? Like, what are we doing? Have they ever sucked the passion out of you like they have me? I didn't need playoffs this year. I wanted it, but I didn't need it. But when you screw up for the fans as much as this team has over the last, like, 5 years, and just don't hold yourself accountable, go hide in your house in Florida. Like, what is this? Get in front of the camera and at least make us feel that we matter.
Whoa. Listen, if this sentence is coming from me, you got a problem. Calm down, man.
Oh, my.
Just calm down.
Sucking the passion out of you.
Wow.
What were you before?
My.
And that team hasn't been good in a long time.
Have a Coke and a smile and shut the bleep up. Brett Hull is awesome when he's in public with a microphone. A reminder from last summer.
Glory, Gloria. 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 I think I got your number, Gloria.
Again, that was last summer. All-Star Weekend for the NHL, that man had a mic on, and he was not just as good, but pretty good.
Heard a lot about you. Look up, we got new golf towels.
That was terrible on breakaways. I would rather shoot it inside of five guys than ever have a breakaway, and I think Gretz will agree with me. Too much thinking. Come on, Petro, get one. Yeah! You got him up the middle!
Let's go!
And not so chirpy now, are you, Wayne?
Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I think someone put flubber on our sticks. Come on, kid. Come on, brother. Oh, boy. No, boy. You ever been to the Palm Isle? Straight to about here and then. So we can go with the, where Mama keeps the cookies. Was it over when Jerry bombed Pearl Harbor?
Oh, boy.
I've never seen a good player with a red stick.
He's just dropping movie references left and right.
You know that? True.
Thank you, Brett Hull.
The awkward laugh for the players. Now I know why Ovechkin won't go.
Next nominee, Dave Benz, announcer for the Minnesota Timberwolves, was talking about players taking a shot, but also a chart, charting said shots. He came up with a word. He combined the two, and I don't think he realized what he did. Listen carefully.
What do you think of that new word I just accidentally coined? Chart.
Should we go with that for a shot chart?
It's a
chart.
Already been used.
Chart's been used?
we'll just leave it at that, Vince.
Okay. I'm in the dark on that one. So for everybody out there who's not.
Oh, yeah. You're going to be getting a lot of action on Twitter.
Okay.
Again, shot and chart, if you combine them to make chart, it's not what you think it means. Finally, who wants to hear Paul Bissonnette and some of the Coyotes talk about The Bachelor?
Oh, I do.
Okay, roll it.
We're coming off Champagne Gate. We'll visit that in a few. Victoria Pete. She gets the one-on-one date. I think she... What are you laughing about over there?
No, scoffing. Victoria Pete. Ugh, I don't like her.
She's opened up a lot about her personal life already. There's been a lot of tears shed. And I'm interested to hear, JD, why the negativity?
She's fake. Hannah Ann? I missed that part of the show.
And Kelly, I think you need to read those cheating blogs a little more often there. Kelsey's completely lost her mind. She's way out of line. Now she's playing the victim card because Hannah Ann called her a bully, which is exactly what she was being, correct?
Yeah, I mean, she was clearly upset with the word bully.
We got to talk about the pillow fight, okay? So there was a little bit of jealousy going in this one, right? Sydney's not feeling Alea.
Yeah, I don't like her. I don't like that Demi's back either. That was...
Just leave when you're out of the show.
I second that. I hate Demi. I think she should be off the show.
I guess I never really got your overall thoughts on Peter thus far. Now you got a decent sample size. What do you think of him?
I like him. He's a pretty sensitive guy, I think, and I think this is going to be tough for him as we keep going here.
Well, that's a wrap for this Bachelor Report.
Amazing.
Sportsnet.ca/vote. Let your votes be heard. The winner coming up a little later on. DJ, I think talking about The Bachelor isn't the best use of time.
No.
With that said, Victoria F. going to Cedar Point and seeing Chase Rice.
Thank you for bringing it
and
up.
The fact that they used to date as Peter takes her out for a one-on-one
yep.
is a shocking development to me. Like, how is Victoria F. going to get around that? Quite frankly, is Chase Rice going to come back into the show and try and win her back?
Yeah, and then toasting, saying we're going to be mom and dad one day. Like, how about you pump the brakes?
Pump the brakes. Peter's got a lot of decisions to make.
Missed an episode of Tim and Sid? Listen to every episode and subscribe with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590, The Fan on demand. Tim and Sid. Time for Tim and Sid. Time for Tim and Sid.
Time for Tim and Sid. Oh, yeah. It's time for real sports talk. With Tim McCallum and Sid Sexero.
Thank you, Sheepdog. Sid Sexero back with Donovan Bennett, who's filling in for Tim McCallum. We'll be with you for another 30 minutes on Sportsnet and Sportsnet 360. Full hour on Sportsnet 590, The Fan of Toronto. Hockey Central coming up 6:30 on Sportsnet. Then it's off to the Flyers and the Penguins tonight. We've also got Blues Oilers in regional action on Sportsnet West. That'll be happening later tonight ahead of the Oilers' much-anticipated rematch against the Flames tomorrow night on Hockey Night in Canada.
Yeah, speaking of much anticipated over on Sportsnet 1, the Raptors go for their 10th straight win against Dwayne Casey and the Pistons. Coverage starts at 6:30 Eastern, but we begin this hour with the Super Bowl. Super Bowl 54, just over 48 hours away from the big game.
Yeah, that's right, DJ. And for the first time since 2016, the New England Patriots are not in the Super Bowl. As a result, there aren't many players in this year's game with Super Bowl experience. In fact, Richard Sherman is the only player on the Niners D that has ever played for an NFL championship. Sherman has rejuvenated his career in San Francisco and proven his many doubters wrong, returning to Pro Bowl form after a torn Achilles tendon. But Arash Madani tells us, as he gets set to play in his third career Super Bowl, Sherman says he's not looking back, only forward.
I think that's one of the attributes of a successful person is the ability to move forward, you know, without hesitation.
Picked off, and it's Richard Sherman.
Without regret.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. Don't you ever talk about me.
Without taking the pain and using it as an inhibitor or as an anchor, as something holding you back.
That's what I was hoping. I didn't see him grab that Achilles.
You used those things to drive you. You know what I mean? You turn tragedy into fuel.
There may not be a more outspoken.
Since I got in the league, every category that matters to a corner, I'm number one in.
A more brash.
Show me somebody else doing it like that, and then I'll enjoy the argument. You know what I mean? But there isn't.
A player with a more accomplished career in Super Bowl 54 than five-time All-Pro Richard Sherman. Opponents barely threw his way throughout these playoffs. And at the age of 31, he remains one of the game's lockdown corners. And Sherman wants everyone to know it.
You said we weren't going to make it. You said we were some way early on. Just stick with that position, because I want you to sound like an idiot at the end.
He's especially loud to those who counted him out after he ruptured his Achilles two seasons ago, who questioned why he'd do his own deal with San Francisco, why he'd bet on himself, and why he'd take less guaranteed money from the Niners than other teams who wanted to sign him in 2018.
It was honestly just blind faith. I think that's the hard thing about being successful, is a lot of it is blind faith. It's about stepping, it's like walking up steps you can't see. It may just be a cliff, and I may walk out and fall into an abyss, but that's the trust and the faith that you have to have if you want to make it.
Sherman is one of the elder statesmen in San Francisco's defense. He's showed the young bucks the way by passing along that kind of advice. It took Sherman a while to figure it out himself after Seattle quite bluntly told him they thought he was done.
There's pain, there's sadness, there's hurt, But it's how you react, how you respond to that, that really defines your career and really defines who you are as a person. And that's what I've tried to do. I've tried to take the things that have been slights, that have been pain, that have been sadness, doubt, depression, and I poured them into my tank and used them to push my fire and fuel it even more.
In Sherman's mind, he still doesn't get the respect he deserves. Maybe that changes Sunday if he wins a second career Super Bowl title. Arash Madani, Sportsnet, Miami.
There is no one like Richard Sherman in this league.
No.
For better or worse. One of the more polarizing guys in the National Football League. We'll circle back around to Richard Sherman and some of the things Arash was talking about. In the meantime, however, the one and only Nate Burleson of CBS Sports and NFL Network is joining us from Miami. And, Nate, it's always great to see you. Two things were consistently brought up to me this week in relation to you. The first thing is, wow, Nate Burleson is phenomenal based on your award-nominated performance last week on Tim and Sid when you came up to Canada, and we loved you for it. That's the first thing I've gotten all week about Nate Burleson. The second thing is, did you see the tweet that Kay Adams of Good Morning Football sent out about Nate Burleson? And initially, I did not know what people were talking about. But just to describe it for people listening, yeah. Kay Adams sent out a tweet. It reads, "The great Nate Burleson does this on every flight. Thoughts, comments, concerns. Nate has a blanket draped over his head and appears to be completely unconscious in sleep." For a couple questions here, Nate, is this consistent with you? Do you put a blanket on your head on most commercial flights?
Yeah, this is true. And it really depends on how tired I am, but most people use the blanket to cover their legs or even the upper body. I go straight for the face. You know, if I cover up my head, I know you're not going to bother me. So if you ever see me on a flight, there's a chance that I'm going to look like Michael Jackson's child on the balcony. Blanket. All the way over my face. Just because, listen, it's not even a celeb thing. It's not like I'm concerned about people coming up to me. As you guys know, anybody that knows me, I'll hug and high five and sign autographs for everybody. But when I'm tired and exhausted, it's more about the flight attendant, because oftentimes they're polite and they want to make sure you have everything. All I'm saying is it's basically like the airplane do not disturb sign. And I guarantee it's going to catch on. Most people are going to do it.
I love this. I love this because, Nate, people can relate to this. The flight attendant comes and asks you if you want ginger ale when you're fast asleep, when you're in REM sleep. No, I don't want ginger ale.
Well, wait a second. Hold on. But isn't etiquette now, and I don't fly as much as Nate, but isn't etiquette now if a flight attendant sees you sleeping or with your eyes closed, do they not now leave you alone? Is that not proper etiquette? Or do you, obviously, Nate, you disagree with this because you've gone the extra mile and saying, please leave me the hell alone. I don't want the pretzels.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, and this isn't on my tab, so once again, I'm not trying to hit you with the humble brag, but the NFL Network, they fly as first class, and oftentimes in first class, they want to be extra nice. So sometimes I'll be sleeping, and I'll get the tap, just a gentle tap, just a, hey, is everything okay? I'm like, obviously it's okay. I'm asleep, but like, that's the most okay I can be. So this is just basically telling everybody, just leave me alone for a quick second. Let me catch up on these Z's.
I love it, Nate, but you got to go window. You got to go Belichick hoodie, and then you just lean in the window so you can still breathe, but people know not to touch you. But my question with that photo, and I'll describe it for the radio audience, is not the blanket. I'm with that.
Are you sure it's not the blanket?
No.
Because for me, it's the blanket.
No. Yeah, I mean, you might want to invest in a Snuggie, right? That might be a bit safer, but I'm with the blanket. My question is, you literally have the crease from your shirt as if you bought it off the rack and put it on immediately.
Yeah.
Nate, you're very stylish. You're coming with the Marcella jacket right now with the black thin satin on the lapel, not the whole thing because it's not a tuxedo.
Yeah.
Did you literally buy a shirt off the rack to go to the airport?
See, hey, listen. I see that you pay attention to the details, and I appreciate that. But I'm a homemaker. You know what I'm saying? I know how to cook, clean, and iron clothes. So when it comes to going out, I always iron my clothes up. And I've been doing this since I was young. And even when I didn't have an iron, I used to put my jeans underneath my mattress so they would stay fresh when I woke up for school. So, yeah, I like a good crease. I mean, not in my pants. You know, that's old school. That's like 1990s. But I like a good crease in my shirts, though.
Sorry, did you ask him if he got a shirt that's salmonella? What did you ask him?
He got it off of the rack.
Well, what was what you rephrased a specific term?
Margiela.
Thank you.
No, the jacket is Marcella.
He's listening to you more than you are.
Well, you're talking
about
the shirt. I was talking about the jacket. That's Marcella. It's the Pantone 2018. My guy is clean.
Nate Burleson joining us live from Miami. Chiefs and Niners, Super Bowl 54 this Sunday. I can't move past the blanket on the head on the plane. This is one of the most fascinating things I've ever seen. So, but what's the story, Nate? There had to be one specific story that led to you in your mind formulating the opinion that this is necessary for me. Yeah. Like how... There has to be a starting point to this.
Yeah.
Without naming names or airlines, what was the issue? There had to be one.
The issue was I was on a flight, and I ordered a meal, and I ordered a drink. And it took a little bit longer than expected to get those things made. So by the time they got to me, I was already asleep. And I was wondering why she didn't let me sleep. And she was like, I didn't want you to miss your meal. Now, here's the thing. I love a lot of things. But I love sleep more than I like food. So if I'm sleeping, just go ahead and let me rock out for a little bit. So I thought to myself, so this doesn't happen again. I need to have some type of like headwear to where if somebody sees me, even if there's a meal coming, a drink coming, they'll just be like, you know what? I'll wait. I'll set this aside until he's ready.
Hold on. It took a while to have your meal made. Were you flying Air OVO? Who's making food on a plane?
Emirates? Does NFL Network send you guys Air Emirates to places?
Honestly,
that's
aren't
a hell
they
of
just
an airline,
taking the ravioli out of the warming container and taking the plastic off and putting it on your tray? You're having food made for you on a flight?
I don't hate that at all.
Hey, listen, I've been on a few private flights. You know, maybe I should have just went into the bedroom in the back, but that's a different story. You know what I'm saying? Don't worry about it.
The bedroom in the back, yes. With the pool table, yes, yes.
Pool table.
Nate Burleson. But Nate, you know, some people would debate, if you had to ask someone, what do you like more, food or sleep? And we'll do it now at Tim and Sid. I'm sure you'd have a fight. But if you're asking people, what do you love more, sleep or airplane food? There is no debate. You were in the right 1,000%. I think your coworker tried to embarrass you. And quite frankly, you have started a movement, sir.
It's true.
As usual, Nate Burleson, trailblazer here on Tim and Sid. Any other topics? Nate, apologies for staying on this topic as long as we have.
It's all good.
This is a fascinating discussion to me because you don't see it a lot, yet it makes complete, as usual, Nate, you are making complete and utter sense in this. And quite frankly, for the rest of the show, I may put a blanket over my head in order not to have Donovan Bennett bother me as much. I think this makes total sense.
I just love that Canada learned, along with us, that Nate flies on Soul Plane. He's got a bed in the back.
He doesn't fly.
He's got food being prepared. I just love that he's next level like that.
He doesn't fly on Soul Plane. Nate Burleson here on Tim and Sid. Nate, one more thing about you. I know you hate making it about you, but correct me if I'm wrong. A couple days ago, yesterday, were you scrumming with other media in a specific room? Like, it felt like you were the center of a scrum talking to other media and just talking about the game. Am I misreading that? Like, what was that?
No, that was right. We have a media availability day during the Super Bowl, and you walk in, and there's different tables set up for different guys. And there's always these moments, man, where you just kind of feel like, I'm not sure if I belong in this conversation. And it's like Willie McGinnis and Michael Irvin, they all have tables. And it's like walking into the lunchroom as a freshman. Like, I'm not sure if anybody's going to be at my table. So I see a little name tag, and I walk over, and there's all these people sitting down at the Nate Burleson table. And I'm like, what are you guys doing here? And they're like, come on, man, we want to talk to you. And it's a pretty cool feeling. But it's weird, man. Like, the first night I came out here, which was Wednesday night, I went out, and I'm hanging out with LaDainian Tomlinson, former Redskin, D'Angelo Hall. And it's Julian Edelman, and I'm just sitting here thinking to myself, like, I'm not sure I belong in this conversation.
Stop.
But these are all my boys, though. We're all at a house, a little humble brag real quick. Another one of my friends had a mansion in Miami, so we're just kicking it, chilling. And I was listening to these guys talk, and we're just going pure X's and O's. If I can get it on camera, it would have been the dopest conversation for people to see. And then that night, we went out to a restaurant at Komodo. I run into the owner of the Dolphins, Stefon Diggs, Melvin Ingram for the Chargers, and Rick Ross. And I was like, wait. This is at dinner? I didn't even hit the streets yet. I hadn't even went out yet. Miami is crazy lit. I've been to a lot of Super Bowls, but the celebs came out for this one.
I mean, listen, with all due respect, I've had a crazy week, too. I watched The Bachelor Monday. That was wild because they went to Cleveland, and no one saw that coming.
Nobody saw that coming. What a twist.
And that was basically my week, and I was here. Oh, so very similar weeks we had, Nate.
Very similar.
Very similar.
Nate's at DJ Khaled's house doing a live NFL playbook show with Maybach music.
Nate just dropped
and you're watching The Bachelor.
Nate just dropped a lot of names. Rick Ross got me. Nate Burleson here on Tim and Sid. All right, football. Big game Sunday, as we know. We just ran a feature on Richard Sherman. A lot of people talking about Sherm. Of the three names I'm going to give you, Nate, who wants to win the most on Sunday? Kyle Shanahan, Andy Reid, Richard Sherman.
It has to be Andy Reid. I feel like Andy Reid has been in that kind of gray area, you know, that limbo, if you will, from inception. And he knows that in order for him to get the ultimate validation, which is not what he looks for, but it's appreciated, that he gets the Super Bowl ring. You know, he's been one of the mainstays over the last couple of decades of success. I mean, he's the true marker of it. But when you get to the big game and you don't win, and then you have a long stretch between getting back to that game, you almost start to wonder, can he do it? You know, there's a group of players that fall in that category for me. The Larry Fitzgeralds, Philip Rivers, you know, there's the Antonio Gates. The list goes on and on of guys that you respect and you think and hope that they're Hall of Famers, but you just wish they had a ring because then there wouldn't be a conversation. And it's the same way with Andy Reid as a head coach. We respect him. We love him. And I think a lot of the people in the NFL family want to see him win. But, yeah, he's that guy that wants to win badly. I think Shanahan wants to win, of course, but I think that's more of shaking that narrative that these young boy geniuses, the Doogie Howsers, the Sean McVays, they don't get their butts whooped by older, more wiser coaches in the Super Bowl, because that's what happened when McVay met Belichick last year.
Andy Reid or Eli Manning? Who's more deserving of being a Hall of Fame?
Andy Reid. I didn't mean to answer so quickly like it's disrespect to Eli, but Eli has those two rings that will always give him validation. But for majority of his career, even if you look all the way down to his record, I mean, the record, he was almost pretty much at 500. If he didn't win that last game he played in, he would have been at a dead even. So I feel like Andy Reid, he's been able to motivate men, and I say all the time, the most difficult thing is to motivate a man with $1 million. And he's been able to do that on different teams with different egos. The same argument people can make to criticize him, that he had so many talented players, why haven't he won one, is the same reason I appreciate him. He's had so many talented players with big personalities, and he was able to manage those personalities.
Nate Burleson here on Tim and Sid. Nate, let's role play here for a second. You are Richard Sherman. You are with the rest of that secondary, and you are watching film. You're watching everything you can get your hands on that Chiefs offense.
Okay.
What do you tell the group if you're Sherman? How do you attack this?
Pray.
Okay, first, pineapple is my safe word since you said you want to role play. but if when it comes to
well
when
played.
It comes to Richard Sherman, I feel like he has to tell the DBs, be aggressive at the line of scrimmage. Don't be afraid to miss and fail. Because what happens is you face at speed and you're backing up, and before you know it, they're running past you. I mean, Tyreek Hill is Olympic speed fast. Travis Kelce is a wide receiver in tight end's body. The list goes on. Sammy Watkins, Mecole Hardman, DeMarcus Robinson. All these individuals, they're truly a track team. Guys get caught up in watching the speed in front of them instead of trying to misdirect the speed, throw off the speed. And you do that by shooting your arms. And oftentimes, because they're so fast, you're not going to always catch them. You're not going to get your hands on them. They are quick. They work on the release moves too. But what happens is when you shoot at somebody, they think about it. It's like that small hesitation that gives you a little bit more time to get into position. Just delay the route. You want to throw them off. You're not going to stop them from getting to where they got to go, but you're definitely going to cause a traffic jam. I mean, a GPS will always get you to where you need to go, but it can't control the stuff that happens in the streets. So you got to be able to cause a traffic jam right in front of them. That way, when Pat Mahomes drops back and he's looking at Tyreek, he's looking at Travis Kelce, he's looking at Sammy Watkins, for a split second, he has to think to himself, oh, is he open? Because it looks like he's getting pressed and he's jammed up over there.
No team has more zone in their schemes than the Niners. No team has beat zone better than the Chiefs. Andy Reid loves those four verticals. The 49ers love that three deep zone. Something has to give here. What's it going to be?
I don't think you can stop speed. You know, as much as I can appreciate a good defense and the 49ers thinking that they're going to get to Pat Mahomes, everybody's been saying that. you know, the Titans, they tried their best. They mixed it up. They had a little zone, little man. They even rushed three one time and dropped back eight. I might even say one time they rushed two guys and dropped nine dudes into coverage. And Pat Mahomes dropped back, surveyed the field, realized he didn't want to force any balls in between small windows. He's like, I'm going to take off because they don't have me accounted for. So even if the zone is correct, or the man is correct, or for a split second you think that the 49ers defense has suffocated the wide receivers or pass catchers for the Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes can tuck that ball and run. I mean, that run that he had right before halftime against the Titans changed the game. At that point, it was a wrap.
Nate Burleson, you have blessed this show with your presence the entire season. Once again, football fans in this country know that, with all due respect to a lot of other football segments in this country, this is the one you really need to come to. We have reached the precipice of this season. I have a feeling which way you're leaning, but I don't want to speak for you. The winner of Super Bowl 54 will be who?
It's going to be the Kansas City Chiefs. They'll win this game 38-35.
There it is.
There it is. Here it first.
There it is, folks.
More importantly, Kyle Shanahan's trucker hat. Hate it or rate it?
I like it. Okay. I like it.
There you go.
He got flavor. Kyle Shanahan, he got a lot of sauce to him. That's my dude.
One more question, Nate. Are you creeped out a little bit at how intently Donovan Bennett looked at your wardrobe in that picture of you sleeping on the plane?
He was on it. I thought he was going to make a comment about my draws, but they weren't showing. So
no.
It's all good, though.
If we had another 5 minutes.
Donovan, I love you.
If we
you
had another 5 minutes, Donovan. You never know. He is living life at 30,000 feet. He is Nate Burleson. And,
appreciate you guys.
He decided to join us again. Enjoy the game, Nate. Thanks, man.
I will, man. Thank you guys, man. I had fun all year, and this better not be the last show. Let's go ahead and talk to Ronald Rafters, man. Let's do it.
All right, don't threaten us. We will call you.
All right, brother.
Often. Seriously, you're that good. After the break, breaking news, a Best of the Week nominee has tweeted into the show.
Wow.
So we'll let you know what happened there. Best of the Week results, and we talk Super Bowl winners. Our picks, maybe? I don't know.
You boxers or briefs?
Neither.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Welcome back to Tim and Sid. Here are the results for Best of the Week. Before I actually unveil the results, though, Frank Caliendo, who did a Pat Summerall and John Madden impression in Best of the Week, was one of the nominees, one of the stronger ones, in my opinion. Word got back to Frank. Frank Caliendo tweeted at our show just now, said Frank, "Hey, guys, it just has to be this. Has to be. Has to be. Has to be. Or not." He then followed that up with, "Let me know if I lose to hockey, would you?" Frank Caliendo, breaking news, you did not lose to hockey or anything else for that matter. The results are in for Best of the Week, courtesy of Mary Browns. Frank Caliendo, doing your impression, do you, sir, do you, you're a champion.
Mahomes, back to pass. Nobody open. He scrambles to the sideline. He's out of bounds.
He's still in, Pat.
So he is. Mahomes, inside the five. Touchdown, Kansas City.
And that's just Patrick Mahomes being Patrick Mahomes right there. Break the muscles, and there's the Kansas City Wolf. I don't know what a wolf has to do with the Chiefs, but I mean, look at what he does here. I mean, there's nobody open. Titans think he's just going to run out of bounds. But he doesn't run out of bounds. He stays in bounds and then makes guys miss, makes guys hit. And then, boom, touchdown. And when you get a touchdown, you get to make muscles. There's the wolf again. What the?
That is the Best of the Week winner, brought to you by Mary Brown's Crave Delicious. That was outstanding. We had some interaction with Frank Caliendo during the show.
But that is the question. I don't know if that's ever happened again in the history of Best of the Week, where you lead the witness, where you tamper with the jury pool. I'm just saying, there's some other great candidates.
Who was tampering? Frank Caliendo was
correct?
Tampering?
Correct. I'm just saying.
It's allowed. There's some fast and loose rules here for Best of the Week.
I didn't see Brett Holt campaigning online. He said, "I want to win this fair and square."
I'm pretty sure Brett Hull didn't know that was going on.
I'm just saying, Caliendo is the Astros of Best of the Week.
Golly, Gloria! Gloria!
Should we get to some picks? Because I actually was watching the show last week. I don't know if
you were watching the show last week. Thank you for doing it once. I appreciate it.
Well, I mean, my kid was asleep on me. I couldn't reach the remote. I was watching Writer's Block before.
Yeah, better show. Yeah.
Anyways, I saw you guys do this new thing, Lay It on the Line Challenge.
Budweiser's Lay It on the Line. Yeah,
yes,
we did last week.
Yeah, where you guys go head-to-head in something. Yeah. So I'm thinking, since I'm sitting in for Tim, I'll step up to the plate.
Okay.
Maybe we make a Super Bowl picks bet, and I'll make a bet on behalf of Tim.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if I lose, I don't want to pay you, like, Tim will have to do that, but what should we bet?
Loser buys the other lunch. Let's do this.
Okay.
Loser this, and this Budweiser Lay It on the Line. Loser buys the other lunch. Fair?
Very fair.
Because I know how cheap you are.
Well,
so this is a very difficult thing for you if you lose.
Please.
So we just pick a side. It's very simple.
Yeah.
Straight up, winning the Super Bowl.
Game,
yeah.
J-Lo's first song. What do you want to do?
No,
what
game.
What do you want to do? Okay, game.
The game.
Yeah.
And again, I'm reiterating a stance I've had the entire week. Basically, for the last week and 5 days, the Kansas City Chiefs are not losing this football game. They're not. Mahomes can run. Mahomes can throw. They have, like Nate said, Olympic-level speed at wide receiver. It's going to be a Chiefs victory.
You're right. They're not losing in regulation. The 49ers, and I've written the article on the website, so I'm not a liar, are going to win the game, and it's going to go to OT. But I just want to win against the spread.
That is laying it on the line because it's a terrible pick. Time to say goodbye to those of you watching on Sportsnet and Sportsnet 360. Up next on Sportsnet Hockey Central, we'll get you set for the night in the NHL. We've got the Raptors and Pistons. Raptors have won 9 straight. That's on Sportsnet 1. Meanwhile, Tim and Sid with Donovan continues on Sportsnet 590. The Fan in 60 seconds. Hang with us.
Subscribe to the Tim and Sid podcast with your favorite podcatcher, Sportsnet 590, The Fan on demand.
And welcome back to Tim and Sid. I am Sid Sixero. He is Donovan Bennett on this Friday. It has been an interesting week, to say the least, in the world of sports. Tim McAuliffe is off, and Donovan has been kind enough in Faisal yesterday, doing a tremendous job sitting in his chair. Dave McMenamin of ESPN will join us on the phone before the end of this show, because during a week where we've seen some incredible visuals and incredible emotion exhibited after the passing of Kobe Bryant, his daughter, and 7 people in that helicopter crash, tonight at Staples Center, however, will be a different level. This will be a franchise who will, quite frankly, never recover. This is a franchise that has said little, quite frankly, in terms of the guys on the court since the tragedy. This is an organization who, and I'm hesitant to go down this road, but at some point we're going to, DJ, an organization that was number one in the Western Conference before all of this happened. And you don't want to kind of blow right through the obvious story of grief and how you recover from that grief. But at some point, it will get back to basketball. Actually, tonight, it may get back to basketball with the Blazers taking on the Lakers. First game for the Lakers since the tragedy. There's a lot of speculation as to what this could be tonight. Personally, DJ, I think we may hear from LeBron at midcourt. I don't have that confirmed. That's just a gut feeling because we haven't heard from Frank Vogel is really the only guy we've heard from. And quite frankly, that's not who I want to hear from. So Your impressions on what we might see tonight, your impressions on how LeBron will handle it, and quite frankly, how the Lakers will handle this for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think the first time LeBron is going to address this will be post-game standing at his locker after showered shirtless. That doesn't make any sense.
So, I agree with
you. So your point on maybe him saying something to the people assembled there pregame makes sense. This has to be emotionally, if not both emotionally and physically, draining on this entire team. Not even just the players, the coaching staff, the sports staff. I mean, Jason Kidd, who's an assistant on that staff, was also a player in the league at the same time as Kobe and very close to him. So I love the fact that when Frank Vogel did speak to the media, someone asked him about dedicating the season to Kobe, and he kind of shut that down immediately.
Right.
As if it's going to be much better if they're hoisting a championship later. Vanessa Bryant's not going to feel much better. She's not going to care.
Yeah, that goes without saying. Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
I do think that this team was going to be a championship contender regardless, but I wonder over the next couple weeks how they're going to get the energy to play high-level basketball given what they're dealing with personally.
And it's not – and again, it's something felt by everyone around the NBA. But there are specific spots where it's just it's cutting a bit deeper. I mean, Kawhi Leonard's helicopter pilot was the pilot in question.
Yeah.
And he was posed a question a couple of days ago, like, has this changed your thought process on helicopter travel? And for a guy who doesn't say much, Kawhi Leonard, he said, you know, this is something I got to think about. You know, this is, they're processing everything. They're processing the grief of the moment. They're processing how their lives may change. I'm sure a guy like Kawhi would get internal pressure from his immediate loved ones to maybe not do that. I don't know. We're learning more about how little safety measures are quite frankly on these helicopters. There is no black box.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Safety regulations on them are just recommended. It is the more you peel back the layers on laws on helicopters in North America, it's kind of crazy. So everyone's processing a ton here, and tonight you're going to see the tip of that spear. You're going to see an organization still looking for answers like everyone else, because we don't know anything. An organization trying to move on, an organization having to play through this, and I don't know how the Lakers are going to respond for the rest of the season. I really don't. And you have some guys on that team that have seen some things. You got Rondo, you got LeBron, you got, you know what I mean?
Danny Green, Jared Dudley.
Jason Kidd on the staff. You know, you have some hardened NBA people who have seen some crazy stuff, and none of them have seen anything like this. So, again, we're going to talk to Dave McMenamin of ESPN, who, unfortunately, we didn't have a chance to talk to this week. He's one of our favorite guys. And he has been basically at the Jump ESPN set overlooking LA Live at Staples with Rachel Nichols and everyone who does such a tremendous job with that show all week. So he has a fairly unique perspective on this. So we'll talk to Dave coming up here ahead of the Lakers' first game since the passing of Kobe Bryant. There's another piece of information that we would like to pass your way, and we've gotten a couple of tweets on it at Tim and Sid, and it's regarding former Jays shortstop Tony Fernandez, one of the most beloved Jays in history, and I know some of you of a younger generation aren't as familiar with Tony. Tony was always one of my favorite Blue Jays growing up. You know, whether it was late 80s Tony Fernandez, whether it was traded for Roberto Alomar, Tony Fernandez,
right, yeah.
Whether it was things didn't work out for the Mets. Guess what? 93, Tony Fernandez, you come back and you drive in 9 runs in that World Series for the Toronto Blue Jays, something people forget, a record at the time for shortstops in the World Series. So Hector Gomez, who was a fairly reputable guy when it comes to baseball, tweeted this out not that long ago. Former MLB player Tony Fernandez is in very critical condition due to kidney complications. Fernandez was selected to 5 All-Star games, won 4 Gold Gloves, and won a World Series with the Jays in 93. Some other reporting on this is suggesting that Tony Fernandez is currently in a medically induced coma, and he's been dealing with severe kidney issues for the last several years. In 2017, he was in a similar spot. He was in a critical state with this disease. Thankfully, Tony fought it. He came out, and he managed to get through that portion of his fight with this. But again, there are several reports that Tony Fernandez, one of the most beloved Jays ever, is in a very, very tough spot. So for those of you that were asking what we knew, that is what we know. Past that, we don't know much. It's been a tough story to kind of validate and corroborate. Just so you know, we're not ignoring that because we know what Tony Fernandez means to a lot of Toronto Blue Jays. He is on the level of excellence. This is a guy who, when you saw him play shortstop, he was so unique in how he did it. He was a big dude and he was lanky but he was quick and he seemed to get to everything very easily.
Yeah.
And so I don't want to speak to him in a past tense at all because we don't know what's going on. But FYI, Tony Fernandez is in a tough spot. So for any Blue Jay fan listening, keep him in your prayers because he is a guy none of us will really forget during their time with the Jays. Go ahead. I spoke too much on this, Donnie.
No, I mean, it just when you think about it, it's so smooth, right? Whether it's, you know, just a triple with ease standing up or making tough plays in the hole, defensively, everything was so effortless. And that's the way being around him, you know, post-career, the way he was off the field as well, so smooth, such an easy demeanor, always a smile. When you think of his career, he wasn't the level where he's going to go into Cooperstown, but when you think of him placing him with a team, maybe the Padres a bit for sure, but also be the Blue Jays. Like, it wasn't the Brewers or the Yankees. It was he was one of the first guys when you thought of Blue Jays as a player. He kind of stood up and was one of the people that you got really excited about with baseball in this country. So, yeah, tough news.
I agree. Well said, DJ. Again, Tony Fernandez reportedly is in a medically induced coma while he deals with a severe kidney issue that he's dealt with for a long time. We'll keep you updated, and hopefully Tony and his family get through this. All right. I'm told we have Dave McMenamin of ESPN on the line from in and around LA Live, around Staples Center. Dave, how you doing, man?
Hey, fellas. You know, it's a story that you never want to cover. Yeah, I was fortunate enough to have a relationship with Kobe, covered him for 6 years. Grew up watching him because we were both from the Philadelphia suburbs. So I just try to do my best to honor the guy by telling the story.
Dave, we're 3 hours, 20 minutes away roughly from the beginning of what will happen tonight at Staples. I didn't even know how to describe it, the honoring of Kobe. What are you actually seeing in and around LA Live and Staples right now? Like, has a crowd developed? What's going on?
Yeah, I mean, I'm outside Staples Center right now. I was just at the LA Live Plaza 5 minutes ago, and there was a cacophony of Kobe cheers. We're talking hours to tip off. There's several hundred, maybe close to 1,000 fans already congregated. The team and LA Live and the Staples Center has asked fans, if you don't have a ticket, please don't come down today, because they're not going to be airing the game there, and they're just worried about the safety issue of having that many people. The memorial should be up through the weekend, so people will have a chance to, you know, come and drop off a memento or write something on the big boards. But you know, it's just surreal. The Lakers have started to reveal some of their plans. Frank Vogel and his staff will wear Kobe Bryant sneakers. LeBron James is wearing Kobe Bryant sneakers at shoot around today. The team will wear a black KB patch on their uniform. There's also the same black KB decal on the floor at the Staples Center. And one of my producers has already been inside Staples Center today, tells me that she's heard gospel music being practiced. And so that will be involved somehow, wow, either in, you know, the pregame ceremony or some sort of halftime honoring of Kobe Bryant, his daughter Gianna, and, of course, the seven other victims in that terrible crash.
You know, you've been around not just the team but the city for quite a while. You had the Grammys going on at Staples, and people normally who can't get down there are trying to get down there to celebrate him. Mariachi band playing. Instead of Go Lakers on the bus, you have Rest in Peace Kobe on the local buses. What has the reaction been from the Los Angeles area immediately and now still?
Yeah, I mean, I've quite frankly been a danger on the road because I've been trying to capture these things that you see. Hmm. Pulling out my cell phone and trying to snap a picture so I can, you know, try to share.
Careful, Dave. Careful,
know,
man.
I know. Just try to share it with my followers so they know what's going on, so they can get a sense of it. And it's overwhelming. You can barely go a few city streets without seeing something. New murals are popping up. Just like there's this memorial at LA Live, there's one at the Mamba Academy. There's also one in El Segundo outside the Lakers facility. And usually they have that fenced off, and there's a security gate, and you can't just come in. But they are opening their gates to have fans come in and share a moment. Actually, I was there yesterday doing some early television in the morning, and Meta World Peace showed up to pay his respects and then just hung out with fans sharing Kobe stories for about a half hour. It's really hitting the whole city. And, you know, Kobe was generational, you know, 20 years straight playing for this franchise. Really, his career started in 1996, which was the same year that NBA.com started. So he was kind of the first digital athlete too. So you weren't just watching him play on your television once or twice a week. You're watching it on your phone. And you've seen his clips over and over and over again. And there's an emotional connection to him, whether you're someone like myself who, you know, talked to him in person, or someone you just, you know, felt close to him because he was proliferated in clips throughout your life.
Dave McMenamin of ESPN joining us here on Tim and Sid. Again, the Lakers will play their first game tonight at home against the Blazers since the passing of Kobe Bryant, Gianna, and seven people on Sunday. Dave, I just want to rewind a little bit concerning something you said. So Meta World Peace just comes down and is talking to fans just normally, just swapping stories. Like, I find it's amazing how the lines are evaporating between the NBA player, the celebrity, or they're just the normal fan who's been down at LA Live for days. Everyone's just a basketball fan, and everyone feels like they're kind of in the same place.
Absolutely. Now, Quinn Cook came to the LA Live Memorial on Monday. He brought a Kobe jersey with him, like one he had in his closet, because he grew up a Laker fan. His dad, who's passed away many years ago, he passed on that fandom. And now he plays for the franchise, and he got to meet his idol, and then he has to grieve losing his idol. And, Meta was... He wasn't acting like he had any place to be. He wasn't acting like he was any better than any of these fans. Everyone was sharing the same emotion. And, he was posing for photos, and he was listening intently as fans told their memories, and, he was sharing some of his own.
The only probably NBA athlete that you've covered more closely in your time than Kobe would be LeBron. And you have an insight in his sensibilities. The footage of him getting off the plane and just two deep embraces was crushing. Knowing what you know of him, what has his process been like dealing with all this, and what will it be moving forward?
He has taken on, which is a tremendous burden, you could put it that way, or perhaps an opportunity to be the guiding light to get this franchise through this dark time, get the city through the dark time. His first public statement, that Instagram account where he said, "I can carry this bleep on my back." I got us talking about him and Kobe and the role that Kobe used to provide for the franchise, and now he's going to take it on. And when the team had a meeting on Tuesday where they had a luncheon where they opened up the floor for people to share their favorite stories, LeBron started. He said, "I got this. I guess it's time for me to go." And he set the tone. And it's a monumental task he's trying to take on. You know, basically at this point, Laker fans want fate to take over and get them that 17th championship in Kobe's honor. But listen, it's a different circumstance. He's the same guy who was like, "Hey, we're down 3-1. To the greatest regular season team of all time, about to take a cross-country flight to Oakland to play them on their court in the Game 5. We can do this, fellas." And listen, I've seen him do incredible things in his career. I have no doubt that he'll give everything he has in him to try to make that happen.
Dave, in terms of LeBron, I mean, it's tough to pinpoint who would have been the last person to speak to Kobe, but LeBron had to be in that mix based on what LeBron said about talking to him Sunday morning.
Right. I mean, it's such a bizarre part. He passes him in scoring on Saturday night, and then Sunday morning gets a congratulatory phone call.
I don't know what you can tell me in terms of what you know of that broadcast tonight. I was kicking it around with DJ earlier. I would not be shocked if LeBron addressed this crowd in some way prior to the game, if he was emotionally up to it. And if he wouldn't be, I'd completely understand. My question is, when do you think we'll hear from him eventually?
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't have any information about him addressing a crowd. It wouldn't shock me, considering who he is. I know that there's been over 400 media members credentialed for tonight's game, so rather than have our postgame interviews just be in a crowded locker room, they're going to have a press conference format, and both LeBron James and Anthony Davis are expected to speak. And so certainly you're going to hear from him postgame, and it won't just be about what happened against the Blazers. I can tell you that it will be about his memories and what this week has been like for him and his family and the Laker family. And so we'll see. it may be totally appropriate for him to grab the mic before the game. Part of me feels like he'll want the first thing for fans to really consume from him is kind of let his game do the talking.
Yeah.
Like, it would not surprise me one bit if he had an all-time type of night in his career on the court tonight.
As we move forward and look at, I suppose, the cascading impact of this, what's All-Star weekend going to be like? Is anyone going to be in a jovial mood? What's trade deadline going to be like? Is anyone going to want to call Rob Pelinka or Mitch Kupchak or Jerry West? Like, will this entire season be under the cloud of this tragedy?
I think it will be. Geez, Rob Pelinka, you know, honestly, probably his best friend in life is Kobe and vice versa. And he has taken on not only trying to shepherd this franchise through this, and then obviously the very real job part of his responsibility is this trade deadline. But, like, he's trying to be there for Vanessa and her three daughters who are still with us. I mean, he's the godfather of Gianna. So it's unspeakable what he's going through. You know, the NBA has tried to do their best with All-Star Game. They changed up the format, which I think got a lot of people confused in terms of having a target final score at the end of the game rather than having them just play out the clock as they've always done. They announced today they're going to be wearing jerseys that reflect Gianna. LeBron's team will wear number 2, and then Giannis's team will wear number 24 in honor of Kobe. But again, as you mentioned, it's just going to keep coming. You know, the first game of the playoffs, people will talk about Kobe's first playoff game. First game of the finals, people will talk about Kobe's 5 championships and all the wonderful finals memories he had. The Olympic summer, obviously. Kobe was the linchpin on that redeem team in 2008 to get USA basketball back to glory. I think perhaps the closing chapter will be the Hall of Fame ceremony in September. Kobe was set to be the marquee guy of that class. Jerry Colangelo, who's an important voice in the Hall of Fame proceedings, said that it's going to be a celebration of Kobe, and perhaps for basketball fans that will be kind of some major piece of closure. I wouldn't say final bit of closure, because I think most of us who spent our lives watching Kobe will think about Kobe for the rest of our lives.
Dave McMenamin, ESPN. Live from Los Angeles, site of the Lakers' first game this evening since Sunday's tragedy against Portland. Dave, it is great to hear your voice. We appreciate you coming on after what has been a very, very long week. And let's talk again soon, man. Take care.
Absolutely. Thanks, fellas.
Dave McMenamin, ESPN, one of the best. And it's so interesting to me, because the last time I really saw Kobe on television was at Staples. It was a Hawks game. Don't ask me what I was doing watching a Lakers-Hawks game. This thing was done by the second quarter, and I wasn't betting on the game. I happen to like sports. I can watch sports without betting on it. But the game was over, like, late second quarter, right? Trae Young, I believe the Hawks had played the night before. This was not happening for the Hawks. But Kobe was courtside, and it took over the game. LeBron is coming over mid, because there's nothing else to talk about.
Right.
The Hawks are awful. This game is done. They're about to pull the starters at any moment. Frank Vogel is. And there's a moment where Kobe stands up, leaves, and it's like it's a standing O. I think it was early fourth quarter. He left early. It's early fourth quarter. Leaves and gets a full standing O in this nothing game against the Hawks on a Sunday night. And that's where I really saw it. I'm like, that's power. When you show up, all he did was show up. And that's all you have to do to have that fan base and guys on the court who are working, they are on the clock, be completely distracted. And these are NBAers. They're celebrities every game. They don't get shook by much. But Kobe hadn't been there in a while. And he showed up. And the reaction, Donovan, from everyone on the court, in the broadcast booth, I'm watching the Laker broadcast, so they were gushing. And then the reaction when he left, if you can go online and find it, I strongly encourage you to do it, because it was the last visual I had of him but it just reminded you of what he meant to that team. He did nothing but sit down, and his presence engulfed everybody in that Lakers organization. That should give you a slight window into the soul of what could happen tonight. And I'm going to be riveted like you, and I don't know how the Lakers are going to do this in terms of actually going out and playing, but in terms of honoring, we've seen the Lakers honor. They will do the respectful, appropriate things tonight. That we all agree on.
It's a great point. It's funny because my last memory of him is also watching sidelines and Mavs game, and Luka Doncic turns around because he realizes someone's trash-talking him in his own native tongue, not in English. It was Kobe.
Kobe.
Because he knew so many languages. And after the game, Kobe is getting a photo of Gianna and Luka because she looked up to Luka as a player. And he's using his iPhone. And he's just being a normal dad, even though Luka is so nervous to meet one of his idols in Kobe. And that's what I remember. He was at the end, he was just a dad, even though the photos are all over Getty.
Donovan, thanks for this, man.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it. It's been a unique week. I want to thank you all for watching and listening. I'm Sid Sixero. He's Donovan Bennett. And for Tim McAuliffe and everyone here, this has been Tim and Sid on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. You have a great weekend, everybody.